we have this one customer, and I won't name her name, but we love her. Like, she's obsessed with Kitterly, so of course we love her because she buys something. But it's kind of funny because when you see her name coming through the orders and it's like, oh, you haven't seen her for a few days, you're like, is she okay? Everything okay?
I'm Alex Blumberg, host of the podcast Startup, and you're listening to We Are LA Tech.
Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast here in Santa Monica. It is an amazing and beautiful beach day. Aren't you guys jealous? And I get to celebrate an extraordinary female founder here in LA. Hello, Mary.
Hi.
So, Mary, you've been part of the LA Tech ecosystem from the beginning. But before we get into that, go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody and tell them a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Cool. So I'm Mary Bauer. I'm the CEO and co-founder of an LA-based startup here called Kitterly. And what we're doing at Kitterly is disrupting craft and supply retail commerce with our curated crafting kits. And our first vertical is knitting and crochet. We've been doing it for about 3 years now.
And you're kind of like the Bloomingdale's of knitting, right?
Yeah. So like definitely more upscale than what you would think at like Michael's or Walmart, where you're going in and buying like, you know, a ball of yarn in the back. Like, our crafters are really invested, highly engaged hobbyists that span, you know, all ages, but they invest pretty heavily into their hobby because they want to make something really cool and special.
I mean, you were saying that the knitting market does like something millions a year. Like, what were you saying?
Well, the overall crafting market, there are like 73 million crafters in the U.S.
That's
this is
crazy.
Just U.S.
Yeah.
And they spend about $43 billion a year
billion.
On supplies.
Billion. $43
yes.
billion.
Yes. $43 billion, which is up from 2010. The studies that we have seen, they were calling it about $30 billion in 2010.
Yeah.
So it's definitely getting bigger. Knitting in particular, the research study that we cite from the Association of Creative Industries says that 22 million people in the United States knit or crochet every year.
So,
and they spend almost
wild.
$3 billion on supplies.
It's wild. Okay, and now I want to get into Kitterly and everything that does. And for those of you who knit already, you know everything that Mary's talking about. For those of you who don't knit, how I understand it is someone like me who's never knitted before can literally go to Kitterly, pick out a design, get a kit of everything that I need for that design, have it sent to my house, and then I can start knitting and not worry about having the wrong yarn or like low quality yarn. Is it called yarn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It is called yarn.
Low quality yarn, and have this, like, she's wearing this beautiful, do you call that a shawl?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's called. It's something rad. Like,
it's
it looks
a little
dope.
Large for a shawl, so we would affectionately call it a schlanket.
Schlanket?
Because it's almost a blanket.
I dig it. It's like this really cool, hip, modern, shabby chic, piece of attire that she's wearing. And I could literally make that on my own using Kitterly, and I could have this dope piece of, you know, really kind of custom out thing where I go out and my friends are like, where'd you get that? And I'm going to be like, I made it.
Hashtag I made this. What I like to say.
But before we get into Kitterly and all the good stuff about knitting that you've been so gracious to share with me before we even got on the air, you've been a part of the LA Tech ecosystem from like day one.
Yeah, I've been here for a long time. I mean, I started when I moved to LA 19 years ago.
Crazy.
I know, it's crazy. I actually finally have lived someplace longer than where I grew up.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pennsylvania in the middle of nowhere.
Super different than Los Angeles.
Oh, totally different.
Where like, in LA are you based?
I started out in Santa Monica, actually, and lived in the South Bay for a while. Now we're over kind of like West Hollywood.
Nice.
I actually literally live on the border of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
But I'm in Los Angeles, so I just look at the 90210. I don't get to, like, be in the 90210.
I don't think 90210 is as cool as it used to be.
No. And
Hollywood's
the school is in Torrance anyways.
Yeah. Okay, so,
So I started out working in the toy industry. So my first job out here in California, I was an electrical engineer, and I designed toys at Mattel.
So cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a crazy. And then I stayed in toys for about 6 years. I was at a company called MGA Entertainment. And
yeah.
If people remember back, they had this doll line called Bratz.
Yeah.
Which, like, you know, kicked little Barbie's ass.
Right.
And I hope I can swear. Sorry.
Oh, it's a podcast. Okay. Swear away.
All right. Yeah. Kind of swear a lot. Uh-huh. But yeah, so I ran consumer electronics and youth electronics for the Bratz brand for a couple years. And then I got tired of the toy biz. It's grueling.
Yeah.
It's worse than the movie big. Like, yeah. It's really not that fun. Some people love it, not me. And I jumped into social media. I was an early MySpace employee. So
crazy. What's MySpace?
I know. Yeah. I know. I put that in some pitch presentations and I wonder, you can always tell the age of the audience when they look at me blankly when I say I worked with Tom.
Tom's like a photographer now. He's trying to like YouTube it up.
Oh, he has the best Instagram.
Yeah.
I love it. I totally follow it. Love you, Tom.
And okay. So you went from MySpace. And now, was there a tech community when you were working at MySpace? An LA tech community?
I would say probably err more no. I mean, it was just MySpace. Like,
yeah.
We were like kind of the big company. And
yeah.
We got pretty big. And then, of course,
wasn't MySpace one of the first?
I would
in
say,
Santa Monica?
Yeah. They were in Santa Monica originally. Well, they kind of bounced all over, but when they were really growing fast, they were in Santa Monica. And then they, you know, News Corp, Fox bought them.
Yeah.
And then we moved to Beverly Hills. So it was really kind of bizarre because we weren't even really in Silicon Beach.
Yeah.
Like the whole Silicon Beach fest, you know, in the Silicon Beach community that started kind of after MySpace.
Yeah.
Went, you know, it kind of declined. And,
totally.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Winston started Silicon Beach Fest. And according to articles out there, and I don't know if this is true, I wonder if you could answer this.
I worked with Kevin. Oh, yeah.
No, I know I'm saying supposedly, I don't believe this. Supposedly, Paige Craig came up with the term Silicon Beach. I don't know.
I don't know.
Paige Craig is an angel investor in town. He just took a job with that popular motorized scooter company called Bird. And
I just heard he took that. Yeah, because he had a VC for a while.
But supposedly, and I know we're like as a community, we're pretty like we want to puke when we hear the term Silicon Beach.
I know. I feel it's kind of. I mean, silicon's plastic. It feels plastic to me.
Well, from LA,
because we're already, you know, because silicone.
Yeah, totally.
To me, so it's like, there is that association with it where I get they're trying to say Silicon Valley, but we're Silicon Beach.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe he did. I don't know. I think I did read that at one point in time.
Yeah. But I was like, is that true? I don't know.
It could be. Now I'm going to look it up.
So when do you particularly feel like the LA tech community came to be?
You know, I would say probably like 2012 is like really when I saw things kind of bubbling up and changing. It was like MySpace had kind of, you know, deflated and they had the big, you know, got sold.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Science started their
stuff. Right, an incubator. Yeah,
they
had Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah, and then Dollar Shave Club. And then you had Snapchat
kind
of bubbling up. And I think that was like 2012 is when it really started. Things started happening.
Yeah.
And I remember going to different events and like even like the social and social media started to be more than just MySpace and Twitter. Like social media started to be a real way for people to communicate in an ecosystem being developed around it.
Yeah.
And it's been really crazy to see how it's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, we started working on Kitterly like at the end of 2014.
Yeah.
And even from then until now, I feel like it's 2018, it's so different. It's such a different economy and such a different group of people.
So let's talk about Kitterly and how Kitterly is a tech company and where Kitterly is today and where you see it going. First of all, how many people on your team? Where is the company today? Like, give us a kind of barometer of what's going on.
So we're still pretty early stage. I mean, we've raised a little bit of money, you know, not a huge round that gets in TechCrunch and stuff. But so we're still pretty much bootstrapping.
Yeah.
We have a great investor group and we've done a lot.
Yeah.
And we actually left Silicon Beach to get our kickstart where we went.
Yeah.
We did 500 startups, but there are five of us. So it's my co-founder and myself. And then we have three employees who do all the day to day and all the fabulous graphic design.
Yeah.
So we're still really small, but we accomplish a lot with very little. So,
and to the extent that you're comfortable, because I was pretty wowed by it, your company makes money.
Yeah. We had a great year. I'm not afraid to talk about it, but we did over $1 million last year in revenue. And that was significantly up from the prior year. We've got an amazing group of customers. I mean, our retention rate's through the roof. I mean, we measure on a quarterly basis because when you're creating something and you're making it, it's not like a pair of shoes where you're like, oh, I want another pair of shoes. Like, it takes you time. And typically I say 3 months is a good time period to say, yeah. oh, I finished a project. Right. I want you to come back at least once every 3 months to buy something.
Yeah.
And our quarterly retention rate is like is over 65%.
It's amazing. I mean, when you shared with me about the million, being that I'm not a knitter, I'm like, people spend money on knitting, you know?
Oh, yeah. So much money.
Yeah, and so I think that's what's interesting for everybody to hear, that you're not working in like, you're not running a hobby. You
no,
have a real
this
business.
This is not a lifestyle business. This is a true ecosystem that's so underserved.
Yeah.
And people just don't think about it because they think it's small. But when you asked an earlier question, I want to address it about like, how do we position ourselves as a tech company?
Yeah.
We absolutely do. Yes, we're e-commerce and we're selling things. But when I looked at how I wanted to do this, you know, it was about providing context and convenience and delight to our customers and using technology as a way to get there. And so we built a technology platform that enables to take our inventory and present basically infinite kit options to a customer so they can drill down, find something that they like, that they're interested in, and also matching their skill level. But we reuse our inventory in real time. So I'm not selling boxes.
Right.
It's like when people think kits, I always think of like Blue Apron where you get a box of stuff.
Yeah.
And yes, you do get a box of stuff, but it's not allocated that way. Like we have this big, I call bullpen of inventory and we just grab it when it's needed. So we spent a lot of time and a lot of money investing in this very scalable platform that we can then replicate across multiple categories.
Like curating a box, you mean?
Yeah. So instead of saying, hey, you're going to buy this box and these materials are in this box and we're going to buy inventory just for that box.
Right.
I just buy inventory. And then I say, I can, with this inventory, I can make these 40 things.
Yeah.
And then the customer goes, oh, wow, there are 40 things I can make. I really like this one, but it's too hard for me. But, ooh, I like this one, and it's my perfect skill set. It's an intermediate level.
Right.
I'm going to buy that one. But they got the option to, like, search and find something that truly matches them.
To the extent that you're comfortable, I mean, this is the We Are Light Tech podcast. I'm all about being positive, and this is not controversial, not anything. So to the extent that you're comfortable, for the investors listening right now, can you give us kind of your, like, your comfy pitch, not even your serious pitch, but your like best friend in a living room pitch?
Sure. Sure. I mean, we are making crafting accessible and fun. And we are addressing a huge market that's ignored and people don't think about it. And I meet these customers every day that like go to events that I call the Coachella of knitting or the Coachella of crafting, where there's an event in New York every year where 50,000 people go to the Catskills to hang out, shop, take classes, socialize, all about this hobby that they love so dearly, but they have trouble getting their supplies. So we want to be that place for them. And it's a huge market that we should be able to do it.
Best friend it up.
Y'all.
And okay. And so where do you see your company being next year or 5 years? Like, where is it going?
So our primary goal is to do one thing and do it really, really well, which is to own the, I call it fiber arts, which is yarn, fiber. So whether you knit, you crochet, or you can even do what's called weaving, you know, where you literally build like a tapestry.
Yeah.
We're going to own that vertical and we're going to take it as big as we possibly can get it. I mean, like I said, almost $3 billion just in the U.S. is spent on these supplies. We want to own significant market share of that, of the more, you know. And we want to make it accessible, so I don't want to call myself like the Saks Fifth Avenue of knitting, but like Bloomingdale's, they have high-priced items and they have very accessible items. So we really want to be the Bloomingdale's of knitting and then crafting. And once we own this vertical, we're going to take all those learnings and we're going to take our audience and we're going to introduce them to new channels, like other hobbies like sewing, quilting, jewelry making, scrapbooking, painting supplies. I mean, anything that requires a bill of material, an assembly of goods, and a creative outlet for people to use it, we're going to address those.
And now, being that you've been in LA Tech for a long time, what are some LA Tech resources that you recommend, or like something that someone moving here or someone growing their startup themselves that you're like, oh, you should really check out XYZ?
Oh, man. It keeps on changing. There's so many of them. I just went to this really, a new one that's coming up called Crash the Glass.
Yeah.
I think it's Crash the Glass. I went to this event. She's based out of New York, but she's never heard of it. To LA. It's brand new. And I went to an event at the Soho House. And then I met this other woman who has this social networking kind of co-working meetup organization called Quilt. And so you can.
I just heard about Quilt on this podcast this week. Somebody told me about Quilt.
She's amazing. She's amazing.
What is this Quilt thing?
So basically it's these, you pay a subscription and you can go and have like these coffee chats in people's homes, and it's all women. So the whole idea is like this great networking tool. So it can come from all different walks of life. So you can meet people in tech or not, but there are just really great resources, because especially as being an entrepreneur, it can get lonely.
Yeah.
You're not in a big office anymore. You're not, you know, if you're not in that space. So I do a lot of those events, and I've done like the founder meet funder things where they're just, even if you don't get like a pickup from investor, you always meet like these amazing companies, and then you're like, oh, let's have coffee. Let's talk. Let's relate. You know, obviously Kevin's stuff, Digital LA.
Kevin Winston.
Yeah. Kevin,
his guy.
Yeah. His events are always good. And I just started a program that's like a pre-accelerator.
Yeah.
Called, Startup Boost. And so I'm in that right now.
And tell us what a pre-accelerator is. I know Stubbs Alderton has one too.
Yeah. Typically they are, so they don't give you an investment, but they donate their time. So they usually get sponsors to cover like any cost related to the program. And so Startup Boost, we meet on Monday nights, and then you have a network of mentors, and they help like entrepreneurs. You have to apply to get in the program, and they only, I think, picked like 8 companies. So it's pretty cool to get picked for it. And they help you with like crafting your pitch, looking at like your product. Do you have product market fit or not? Like, I mean, we're a little bit further along, so we already have product market fit. Like, we have those pieces. So for me, it's really about like re-examining our narrative, so that when I go into fundraising, I'm better telling the story about, you know, the awesomeness, the radness that's Kitterly. But a lot of the earlier stage companies, they're still trying to get the prototype. They're still trying to launch. They're still trying to like figure out how to speak to investors. What has to go into a pitch deck? What's in my executive summary? And they have a whole program where we have some coursework. We meet with mentors. We practice our pitches with each other. We get feedback.
Yeah.
And there are tons of those events all over. I mean, like Pasadena Angels hosts like a free one where you can just go and practice your pitch. And I like them because you always meet so many interesting founders.
Right.
And I feel that you're always going to learn by, you're always going to find someone who's either maybe a little bit further behind than you or a little bit further ahead.
Yeah.
And there's so much insightful feedback that you could either be helping that person who's behind you, or that, you know, that other person's paying it forward, that will make that intro or just help you with your sanity. Because again, it's a lonely experience. It's a lonely world where 99% of the people that you're around will not at all understand why you're doing what you're doing.
and everybody, will include all these links in the show notes, so you can click and cyberstalk yourself. And you know, sometimes I like to ask like what event you'd recommend. And you talked about Kevin Winston's Silicon Beach Fest, and there's different events that go. Is there any?
Yeah, and he does like monthly one. He does like all sorts of stuff. Dude,
the guy does like a billion panels a month.
Yeah, a ton. But they're really good, and some of them will be. You have to.
They're topic specific.
Very topic specific. So if there's something that you're interested in, and there's some, there's like these mixers. I'm a mom and I'm working a startup. So my ability to go out and have drinks, like go to these mixers is, but I know like there's something like Google sponsors, and even Google does like these really cool talks. Well, they'll, I just went to one where Vint Cerf spoke.
Nice.
The inventor of the internet.
That's crazy.
And it was fascinating. Like, and they host these talks.
So Al Gore didn't invent the internet?
No, sadly, Al didn't. Al invented the second internet.
I wasn't even going to go there. And what LA Tech talent or company have you come across lately who's really impressed you?
I would say Quilt. I am blown away with. I went to my first coffee chat and I'm like, I'm in.
When's
I actually just signed
one?
Up. If you go, you sign up. So Quilt, I think it's like Get Quilt or Meet. I'll give you the link. I can't remember.
And we'll include it in the show notes.
You sign up. There's like 40 events a month going on.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, okay. Walk me through. I sign up for Quilt.
Mm-hmm.
What makes Quilt different than the other 40 events going on?
So these are curated, personalized experiences for women. I mean, it's a female focused network. And so you go into a person's home. So the whole idea is women don't network. A lot of times they don't have time. Like they're working moms and they have to get home and get homework. Right. And I don't have time to go to the Viceroy like tech happy hour every week. Like I just can't.
Yeah.
And women in general don't network the way men do. So the idea is to make it like a more safe and inviting environment and what's better than another woman's home. And so you open up your home either in like between 9 and 11 in the morning or like between 6 and 8 at night.
Yeah.
And you host like 10 to 12 people and there's a curated topic of discussion and they do them based on themes. Every month they have a different theme. So like month is journeys. So it's like your path to whatever.
Wow.
And so you have the moderator who's the host.
Yeah.
She serves coffee, snacks, whatever. Yeah. And I mean, it can be in a big house, a little house.
And how much is it? Do you pay
a
membership?
It's like $30 a month.
That's awesome.
And it was a really amazing experience. And I can't speak more highly of
I want to go.
Gianna, sign up. I'm telling you, everyone needs
to
sign up.
Is she in LA, the founder?
She's in LA.
Introduce me.
I will
totally have her on the show.
You should. She's amazing and just such a. And specifically, she hosted the first one that I went to. Yeah. And like, you just felt so comfortable. And I met, I think there were like six of us. I met an architect. I met a chiropractor. I met someone who's working in a nonprofit that's going to change your business. And then I met like a personal coach.
So cool.
And then myself. And then between us, like at the end, everyone, you know, you have an ask.
Yeah.
Like you could ask for anything. Yeah. And honestly, my ask was like, I wanted to keep in touch with these amazing women.
Yeah.
Because like, again, I have 3 employees and I have my co-founder.
Yeah.
I don't work in an office.
Yeah.
I don't talk to a lot of people. Like I'm always like talking about yarn all day. And it was so nice just to hear their perspectives on their lives. And it was really cool. I'm going to do another one.
That's a resource I'm going to throw out there real quick. I don't know if you're familiar with Work Party. Do you know Work Party? It's pop-up co-working run by this guy named Aiden. Super rad. Really high quality.
We're in the startup boost thing together. He's awesome.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Such a good guy. Yeah. But I've been to a few of the work parties. They're run really well, really structured, really collaborative. But it's run in an environment where you could totally be productive and get work done. Like, that's how it's set up. And then they put focus time for collaboration. So you don't come and all it is networky. It's a really healthy balance of both.
That's cool. Yeah. He's in the... the startup boost thing with me.
Rad.
And so, it's a really cool concept.
I'm an Aiden fan and a Work Party fan. So if you had one ask of the community, this amazing LA tech community, something that we can do to support you in your success and help move Kidderly forward, what would that ask be?
Oh, check it out. Share it with your friends. Like, you know a crafter in your life, tell them about it.
And can you spell it for everybody?
KITTERLY.com.
And how can people connect with you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me. You can email me at mary@kidderly.com.
M-A-R-I.
Mary with an I. My mom decided to make my life interesting by giving me a funny spelled name. I'm on Instagram just as my name. I'm not a very good Twitter user. So if you tweet me, I may or may not find it. I'd be like six. I log in and I'm like, oh, hey, yeah, sorry. You can check me out on LinkedIn. Mary Perfect. Bower.
Can you spell your last name?
B-O-W-E-R.
Perfect. And last question. I'm kind of really excited about this question. What has been a customer story of Kidderly, something that like really moved you? Maybe somebody made a gift for somebody or something that they created, although I know that their designs you provide them. Has there been a customer story that you're like, oh, that's awesome?
Oh, man. I hear about them every once in a while. I mean, I try to check in. You know, it's really fun when you, like one time someone was buying a kit club for their mom. Like we have a subscription box. It's not a big part of our business, but we have one. And, you know, their mom was like getting back into knitting. I guess the husband had died or something. And so they brought that and it just brought some joy to her life. So you hear stories like that, but like we have this one customer and I won't name her name, but we love her. Like she's obsessed with Kidderly. So of course we love her because she buys something. But it's kind of funny because when you see her name coming through the orders and it's like, oh, you haven't seen her for a few days. You're like, is she okay? Everything okay? And my customer service manager, she talks to, you know, she's always talking to the customers. And she was just telling me the story. This woman had just learned to knit in the last 2 years. And she must be recently retired. And she has just fallen in love with it. And she, like, can't wait to get our emails because she's always inspired by something new. Aww. And, yeah, I know. I want to see. But there's just so many stories of people who just love what we're doing.
Yeah.
But the best, I think, probably the best thing I could talk about is the partners that we work with.
Yeah.
So we obviously are very heavily focused on serving a female customer, although only 70% of people who knit are women. There are men that knit.
Yeah.
And it's bigger than you think. But we focus primarily on women right now. And our vendors that we buy from, we source from, we work with independent designers from all over the world. We have a designer in Australia. We have one in Japan. We have a ton in Germany, England, France, all over the U.S. And they're predominantly female. And they're people that, you know, one was a stay-at-home mom that got into it. Another one used to be an ER doctor that started designing patterns as she was recovering from an illness. And we have like a former Unix administrator. Like, the crazy stories that you hear about these amazing people that have changed their careers to do something that, like, they care about. But the coolest thing is of the, like, 95 or 96 or so vendors, and that includes all our suppliers, our hand dyers, our machine dyers, yeah, the people who sell us our needles, over 85% of those companies are owned by women.
Wow.
And when I started thinking about that statistic, I'm like, wow, like, this really is a global ecosystem of female entrepreneurs from all over. And I just want to celebrate them. I mean, they're amazing women. To like the one company I told you about where Spin Cycle Yarns, and they're based in Washington State. And it's two young women tattooed, like rocking it out. And they hand make everything in that product. And they call themselves the Spinsters. And they're just like this cool group of people that, you know, when they all, they know each other online. And when they're at an event or they're at one of these, you yeah know, festivals, the Coachellas of knitting, they are like, it's like they had just hung out like last week, and they might be from Germany or, you know, like I said, right, Washington or Florida, and they're all hanging out, sharing in a hobby that just brings them so much joy.
One thing I want to clarify before we wrap up is when you use the term designer, someone like me who's not a knitter, mm-hmm, what does that mean?
A designer is literally like a fashion designer. So just like, you know, Marc Jacobs, Betsy Johnson, or, you know, Versace, someone who designed something, except for the fact that they designed it for you to make it. So they'll actually create the design. They draw, you know, some of them draw, some of them maybe just create as they're going. They create the project, then they design they write the instructions and then hand that over to you to make it yourself.
Awesome. Yeah.
So we like to call it slow fashion. So,
slow fashion.
Because it might take you, you know,
7 years.
7 years or or a couple months or a couple weeks. But it's not like you're going to Forever 21 and just picking up a shirt off the rack. Like, you
totally,
you made every stitch of that garment.
I was asking you offline. You were telling me it takes about 2 days to make a hat. It could take. And then something like a sweater takes, you said, a week or two?
A sweater. An adult sweater will probably take you a couple months.
A couple months. Oh, yeah,
for
yeah.
For me,
you
it's
going to
take, like, always multiply, like, 7 times whatever time frame yeah I tell you, because I just don't have as much time yeah as I want.
Totally. This has been so cool. Thank you so much, Mary, for sharing your story on the We Are LA Tech podcast. It's just rad that you've been a part of the LA Tech community as it's evolved into being the third largest startup city in the world, which is crazy. I remember when we all fit in one picture at South by Southwest in 2009. And now
it's a huge
ecosystem.
Now
people move here.
Yeah.
We Are LA Tech gets all the emails. I'm moving there from Austin. I'm moving there from Washington. I'm moving there from London. I'm moving, like, help, help, help. I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. And now you go into a coffee house, instead of talking about screenplays, they're talking about mobile apps.
Yeah.
It's
crazy.
Incredible. It's incredible.
I love it. I love it.
It's so cool. If you guys want to connect and collaborate with more extraordinary people in the LA Tech community, remember you can go to the We Are LA Tech Slack group at wearelatech.com/VIP. That's wearelatech.com/VIP. And remember to say hello on social at We Are LA Tech on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Yes. you can now get your We Are LA Tech tee. You've all been asking for it. Just go to wearelatech.com/shop to be a part of the movement to make Los Angeles the top city in the world for tech. Yes, we are number 3. Let's get it to number 1. wearelatech.com/shop. Represent.